most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I am your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back to another Sunday night. I've missed you all. I feel like it's been forever, ever. Has it been forever, ever? Well, hashtag me, Max and Friends, and let me know. I'm on Twitter at Max Tucci. Y'all know that by now. But what's up, everybody? How have you been? Can you believe it's like almost the new year? Where has this year flown by? Well, here's where I've been. I've been Italy, Paris, Colorado, Florida, New York, Colorado, Florida, and back again. And my mom and I got signed to do a really cool cooking show called Max and Mama. So hashtag Max and Mama when you tweet me. And today we were at the Home Design Remodeling Show, and we did a great cooking presentation. Last week, my mom and I were doing all these fun intros and teasers. So tweet me at Max Tucci. And we're definitely going to let you know what's going on with that. Check out iOnSouthFlorida.com. I covered a great event for Unicorn Children's Foundation, which was the casino event. And oh my God, there's been so much going on. I've missed you all, that's for true. And I'm really glad that I'm back here with you tonight. Before we continue, we've got to send our love to Farah Angsana. Her father passed away, so we want to just let her know that we're thinking about her. I'm Max and Friends. She's been on the show, so we're sending love her way. All the way to Indonesia. Speaking of Indonesia, we're sending love to the Philippines. And let's just close our eyes for a moment and just picture like amazing things coming out of this sadness over there. Just rebuilding, restructuring, just like surround Philippines with that violet flame of wonderfulness where they're going to rebuild. You remember Haiti when that all happened and we all came together? Well, we all need to come together for our beloved Philippines. You remember when Michael Jackson did that song, We Are the World? Well, people, that's what we are. There comes a time, and the time is now. So where are you? Let's get involved. Let's help all of humanity. Why don't we just do that? Speaking of helping, there's a great event that I went to yesterday in Palm Beach, which was 100 Years of Fashion on Worth Avenue. I was a celebrity judge for the Cupcake Couture Cupcake War with Letty Alvarez from LA Sweets. Well, that was just so much fun. You know why? Because we got to judge the couture cupcake contest on Worth Avenue. We had a great time with my girl Miss Paige from The Voice. And of course, Dee Dee's Cupcakes. You do your thing, Dee Dee. Ooh, we love them Dee Dee Cupcakes. And there was just a good time that we had there. And then I went to the after party with Worth Avenue Yachts, and it was so much fun. I stayed for about 5 minutes. Cafe Balut had the best food there. And then I was leaving, and the most beautiful one was walking in. I was like, I need to stop and just enjoy this beautiful woman for a moment. And we got talking. I said, you're like the most beautiful woman here. Next thing you know, I find out that she has a charity called Juice Foundation. So check out juicefoundation.org. Her name is Janine Howard. She is the wife of Miami Heat's Juwan Howard. And she has the most incredible foundation that looks into alternative natural healing for cancer. So sometimes chemo is not always the answer. So let's cure cancer naturally. There is a way, it's possible, so check out juicefoundation.org, where you can check out more about what she's doing and what she's talking about, and always go visit Mind Body Basics, because Dr. Ronnie is already on to that, and you know he's a friend here on Max and Friends. So there's been a lot going on, my friends. That is really what's been going on in my life, and I wanted to just share that with you tonight, because I feel like we haven't really been connecting. So I'm going to let you know right now, if you got kids in the room, send them out, because Tamara and Greg are back, and we're going to talk about sex. Ronan, what are we going to talk about?
This is the important word. Stop talking about it. that won't stop it. Talk about sex on the radio and on the video show. Many will know. Tell it like it is, tell it how it could be. Tell it like it was, tell it how it should be. Go. Who think it's dirty, have a choice. Change the station or
I wanna talk about it. There's just no way to fight it. Why can't we talk about sex, baby? We need to talk about
not all I want to do.
We had what? Controversy that really irks me. Yeah. A three-letter word I heard was a curse. So he may fiend and have nice dreams, cause he's 14 in tight jeans. To react like that is natural, but control it or that will get you in the sack in a very bad rap. Oh, sometimes it's like that. Are you ready or not? Cause here he comes, and like a dumb oops, he forgot the condom. As if he had some, but you don't buy them or even like them.
We need to talk about it. We ain't gonna talk about it. How you doing, Dr. Tamara and Greg? Welcome back to Max and Friends.
Max, it is so good to be on the show with you. Thank you so much for having us back. I love hearing about all your adventures.
Well, that's why I was here, because I was like, I got to throw the show to Tamara and Greg, but I got to let everyone know that I still love them. And that's why I created Max and Friends, Tamara, as you know, because you've been here since, like, the beginning. You've been here for a long time. And I always wanted to have, like, this platform where if I can't make it, that I know that I've got some great people covering for me who are going to be inspiring, who are going to be intellectual, and who are going to really give talk that people want to hear. And we're going to do that tonight. And the topic is sex. So we're going to talk about it here on Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio. Now, Tamara and Greg, you know, we were just talking just before the show how sex is wonderful. It's great. You know, and of course, the intercourse is fun. Stick it in, pull it out, don't mess my hair up, that whole concept. But when you get past that, and when you get a lover that you're into, and you want to not only be into them physically, but mentally, emotionally, romantically, lustfully, joyfully, happy, all the kinds of anything you could be into them, it feels really good, doesn't it, Tamara and Greg?
Oh, my goodness.
No, we're here. Doesn't it feel good?
What, you were getting so hot.
And you muted out. It's good to hear your voice, ooh. Max, and then it died.
You awesome. See? It's good to hear your voice. And, you know, sex is good. And when you're involved with a partner and you got fireworks going, Tam, remember when we talked about, baby, you're a firework?
Yes.
You know? So what? Tell us about, you just guys came from the movie tonight. And tell us about the movie and what was going on in it.
Well, first, I want to set a context for tonight, because one of the things that you're always dealing with when you're dealing with sex in relationships is you're going to find out how committed you are and how well you deal with pain. Because when you're having sex with people, stuff is going to come up. And Tamara and I think have recently had a whole series of breakthroughs. Tamara is incredibly, incredibly mature and incredibly versed in the entire subject, so I'm looking forward to hearing her perspective on it. But the movie we saw tonight was Hope Springs, and I was amazed.
Meryl Streep,
and amazing actors, amazing acting, and they focused on, you know, an elderly couple that was struggling, and he's like ice cold iceberg. They even sleep in separate rooms, and Meryl Streep's character is this very delicate flower of a woman. They've been married for 31 years, so they're probably in their mid late 50s. And she wants to reignite the relationship after this very mechanical 5-year period where he hurt his back and they're in separate rooms, but then they're staying in separate rooms the whole time. And so it was really, I looked at Tamara several times and I was like, man, this is so familiar, the pain of his insecurity and her yearning to have more than just sex, and him feeling like, well, now I don't even get that because she's shut down because she's not getting what she wants. So Tamara's got some beautiful insights having to do processes sex, and I'm going to ask her some hot questions tonight.
Well, you know, that's a great whole topic because, you know what, it's not just in the movies, it's in everyday life. So yeah. Tamara, what do you think, because that's a disconnect, You know, and I believe intimacy is when into me you see. You know, we talk about that before here on the show. So what happens when that disconnect happens?
Well, it's just like a flourishing plant or a flower. If you don't water it, and if it doesn't get sun, if it's not nurtured by words of affirmation and longing in your eyes with that reflect a kindness, that just say, man, I love you, and I'm so glad to be with you, and I want us to experience the fireworks and joy of what happens inside of ecstasy. All of that is available when we remove the blocks that prevent us from experiencing that. Because that
now, what are some blocks? What are some blocks? Because people are listening right now and they're like, that sounds really good, but what are some blocks and how can I identify them?
Well, something guys can relate to.
A lot of them are insecurity.
Yeah. Total insecurity. And what you mentioned, what Tamara mentioned about the flower, think about what happens if you don't water a flower and you don't give it sunlight. You get a very shriveled up, limp flower. And this is really what's going on in relationships. You know, it's
absolutely. You don't give love, you get a shriveled up, limp dick.
That's right.
That's the deal. And that's why guys have to build skyscrapers to compensate, right?
Yes.
So what, Tamara? What you were saying? You were saying that
the
really
blocks.
Has,
what are the blocks besides insecurity, though?
The blocks are feeling like that you're not enough. And one of the biggest obstacles that came up in this movie was she was so fearful that he did not find her attractive anymore. And she was looking for that in his eyes. How do you...
The validation.
Yes, that I love you and you are the most beautiful thing in the world to me. And it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. You're my gal or you're my man. Or it doesn't matter, heterosexual, homosexual. It is my lover. You're my lover. And every part of you is juicy. Every part of you is acceptable to me. And that's what happens in over time, is that there's a maturity inside of a relationship that you love the good, the bad, the ugly, and the gorgeous. You love all of them for who they are, no matter how they show up.
Now, what happens, though? What happens when... You know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You can't love. Is it time to call it quits? Or do you just continue sleeping in separate rooms?
Right.
You know, the image that Tamara and I are frequently entertaining is, you ever seen a little old couple hobbling down the sidewalk, hand in hand? They're like 75, 80 years old, and they're still holding hands, walking down the sidewalk?
Now, absolutely. I've seen that in Italy. It happens all the time.
Sure. And that's a relationship that's grounded in friendship. I mean, let's face it. They're probably not having the hottest sex. They're probably not having, you know, the wild nights out. They're probably not having a lot of things. And ultimately, every couple is brought to that place. And how you conduct yourself in building that foundation of friendship. And that's, for me, the biggest block. If I don't have that friendship established with my wife, you know, sex is just sex. What makes it really yummy and tasty and you know, something you can really dig your teeth into is the trust and, like you said, Max, the intimacy. Mm-hmm. And how intimate really are you with somebody that, you know, you're just having just sex with? Now, and that's fine. Tamara always says there's a lid for every pot. If you just want to have sex, just make sure you find somebody else that just wants to have sex. Don't find somebody that's looking for a long-term relationship and then commit to them because so you can have sex. Mm-hmm. And then they find out and you're kind of exposed. Well, I just wanted sex, but I was willing to say whatever it took to get it.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, one of the big things I always say is that we never have to seek for love, that love is who we are. We just have to remove the blocks that prevent us from experiencing it. So if you're not experiencing that with your lover, there is beautiful opportunities to explore new avenues and new tranches into each other's heart.
And one of them is going to heartvirtue.com, where you can find Tamara and Greg. Now, speaking of heart virtues and friendships, what happens if you have the friendship but you don't have the sex, Tamara?
Oh, my goodness. That can be heartbreaking because maybe it is there for one person and not for the other. And, you know, that can be just as exquisite, too. I mean, friendships are beautiful, but you do want to keep your intimate partner. You want to keep what happens with them the sacred. And one of the most beautiful things that Conversations with God talks about is that it's a beautiful thing to fall in love with everyone you meet. but keep what's sacred sacred. And if it's not a mutual exchange of a sexual commitment or charge or experience, talk about it. Bring it out as you would a dear friend. Because remember that what we do to another, we do to ourselves. And so every time you're expressing love, you're extending love, you're depositing into you. And every time there's an attack or withdrawal, we experience that ourselves. So really, honesty is really key here when you're dealing inside of relationships. It's like, man, I think you're hot. I think you're amazing. And I love you. And someone else say, you know what? I think you're hot and you're amazing. And I don't love you in that way. But let me direct you where that might be happening for you. And I'm still your friend.
Well, you know... I've got to tell you, Tamara, we were at dinner tonight, right? And we were with a 14-year-old girl. And she was like, I want a boyfriend. I want a boyfriend. And the mother's like, no, no boyfriend for you. And she's 14. And I looked at her and I said, what is a boyfriend to you? What is a boyfriend? And she goes, I want someone to share my feelings with. And I'm like, look at you at 14 years old. And now here's the thing. Answer this question, then I'm going to jump into another one. What is the right age for kids to start dating? Teenagers, kids.
Yeah.
What do you think?
It's a lot younger these days because of the internet, because of chat, the texting. You know, they're so much more exposed.
And mature, though. It's crazy.
Information is just so available.
To me, the 14 is the new 20. I mean, it really is.
Yeah.
Oh, it is.
Now, this is the conversation we had, that by saying no, what it does is it puts her into the underground world, because they're going to find ways to get boyfriends anyway. And by agreeing to it, you kind of have a control over it. Would you agree, Tamara?
Yes. And Max, you asked the magical question. What is a boyfriend to you?
Mm-hmm.
That was so
And she
brilliant.
Didn't say She didn't say, like, I want to have sex, because I asked her. You know I am. Max and friends, we say what we want. Max says
right.
what he wants. And, you know, I said, do you want to have sex? She's like, no. I was like, do you want to get pregnant? No. And I said, do you get your period? She said, yes. I said, you know, you can get pregnant. She goes, duh. And I was like, do you want to have, like, a cigarette after sex? She's like, I don't want sex. She's like, I want to have someone. They don't want – and that's the thing parents need to understand. You're 14-year-old. You're 13-year-old. You're 12-year-old. All right, there are some of them that want sex. But these kids, they just want to have the boyfriend to say, have a boyfriend to be cool in school. And that's why my advice – my question to her was, what is it to you? Because to the mother, it was, my daughter's going to have sex and get pregnant. But to the daughter, it was just, I want someone to share my feelings with.
And if her mom thought to ask that question, she'd go, honey, that's a beautiful thing, because we love sharing our feelings with people we feel close to. And and to have her mom even encourage that.
Well, the mother still said no afterwards.
Yeah.
And you know, Max, you know why that is? It's because she's ill-equipped. You know, I had an aunt that was a high school teacher, and she said that what she experienced as a high school teacher, and this was like 15 years ago, what she experienced was blowing her mind. 9-year-olds with breasts, whereas when she went to school, you didn't develop breasts till you were in your teens. And she's seeing,
I got,
you know,
married at 18.
kids are having periods when they're 8. Now let me ask, if you're a woman that when you grew up in a culture, your culture was modest and conservative, and kids didn't talk about sex in high school, and then out when you were out and you were an adult and you had a job, that's when you really started experiencing that you were ready for sex. How are you going to deal with a 9-year-old that's asking you intense questions about relationships or about what's going on with their body? You're completely ill-equipped. You don't know what it's. You don't even know what it's like for that child.
Well, it's true, and you know, this is a a whole big part of, I think, the brain, and Tamara, you'll probably agree with this, but it all comes down to patterns and pathology. You know, if you raised in a family and the pattern was don't talk about sex, no, you can't have a boyfriend until you're 18 or until you're out of the house, and if you have a boyfriend, then you got to get married. You know, that's the pattern, and the pathology is, well, my thinking is that it's not right, so I'm going to impose that on my child. So I think it's time to break that pattern of no, of the 1950s no, and separate bedrooms like the movie you saw tonight, and to start encouraging what is it to you that a boyfriend is, and understand your kids. I don't know why we're getting into kids and sex right now, because that's not where this show was going. But it needed to
turn. It's important, Max.
It's really where things
important.
Are wanting to go. And let's face it, you're not going to stop your kids from having sex. you can't watch them. If you had cameras every few hours, and there's parents that think they do, your kid says he's going off to study or to this, that, and the other thing. I mean, unless you're going to be the policeman and be 24/7 responsible for your kid. And I don't know about you, Max, but I certainly didn't grow up in that kind of environment. I guess there are some where you are.
But the kids aren't going to trust you either, so there's no point in that. And then they go into that dark underground world.
Right.
So it's really about learning to navigate, learning skills. You know, and Tamara is brilliant at this. I'm amazed and would love to ask the questions, like, when you're dealing with a mother that comes to you and say, what am I going to do? My 9-year-old wants to have a boyfriend. Or, my 9-year-old just had a period. Mm. My gosh, what's next? Is she's going to be, you know, wanting to know more about her body and all that? And what do you tell a parent? You're a licensed psychotherapist. You've experienced a lot of counseling.
Well, and Max, I think that was the most magical question, is you go into deep inquiry. You say, honey, tell me what it's like for you. What do you imagine comes from being able to share your feelings with a lover or with a friend or someone you would call a boyfriend? What would that bring for you that maybe you're not experiencing right now? And just allow them to flourish with you, because that yearning to be able to express themselves is what is being called forth. Anytime you're stifling someone, you're just cutting them off. You're saying no, and because you're afraid, you just you shut off all communications. And it's just through that inquiry that says, "I see you." Even to our children, "I see you." Mm-hmm. I love you, and you are the most important person to me. And how you interact with other people, that is exquisite. And I love to watch you shine. I love to watch you have amazing friendships everywhere. And I love to see you not be limited with one person at your age. This is like an exploration. This is an adventure for you right now. You're going to have your heart broken. You're going to have your heart expanded. You're going to know so much more about life with every goodbye or every interaction or every hello. And I just love being your parent. I love being there to as a soft place to land when things don't go exactly as you expect, and I'll be there for you. And
so, Tamara, you're really talking about listening to this teenager. At what point do you shift from giving your child guidance to acknowledging that they're stepping into that zone where they're going to start making their own decisions and start being a listener and cherishing them?
Basically, it's around 13 years of age, and this is old school. Mm. 13 years of age, your parenting is done. Done.
Well, hold on. You know what? This is what I say, you know, because I'm a big believer in don't be friends with your kids, because you're not. You know, Whoopi Goldberg is a big believer in that, too. She's like, if you're friends with your kids, then they don't look at, you know, they don't take you seriously. And it becomes a point when you are, you know, you manage your child's life, right, in life. You become the manager of their life. And then the age comes where you're no longer the manager. You become the consultant to their life. So when do you become the consultant to your child's life and no longer the manager of their life? At 13?
Well, at 13 years of age, pretty much what you've instilled in your child's life as far as their rearing or upbringing is pretty much done. I mean, they're going to do what they're going to do, and if you continue to be that authoritarian or that you'll do as I say and not as I do, or just because I said so.
The pattern. That's the pattern. Those are the patterns of parents.
You'll get rebellion like you can't believe, and they've got to do just the exact opposite of anything you continue to tell them how to be and what to do just to separate from you. And really being kind yes, there's probably some kind of a friendship component to just being kind, but there's also leading by example. Kids don't do what you say, they do what you do. So to the extent that you are happy, to the extent that you have very healthy, wonderful relationships, that is the best teaching tool you could ever give your children. And that doesn't mean you have to not be kind or not be friendly like.
You don't have to be militant,
Right.
But
right.
You know, we just got a wonderful tweet from a listener out there, Megan Ellen. She writes, Max Tucci, at Max Tucci, I think most parents say no because they don't want their kids to grow up.
Yes. And that's like wishing the sun doesn't come up. It's going to happen.
Well, and let's take a look at why. Why is that? Why is it parents don't want their kids to grow up? You know, the day you gave birth to your child, your purpose in life was beautifully and clearly defined for the very first time. You know, when you see a mother with that child, they know, the parents know, this is my job right now. Like, as never before, you had clarity of role and purpose, and your life was totally together and focused. And so as children tend to leave the home, we have this thing called empty nest syndrome. And it literally is a midlife crisis. When your child leaves now, it's like, who am I now? That beautiful gift that was given to you the day they were born is taken away the day they take their life into their own hands. So that's why parents are so afraid of their child growing up. Their role as a parent, which is so beautiful and authority, you know, they've got all this power and authority, and they have this innocent little baby. That role is being taken away. And I often tell parents when I'm coaching them, we got to get your identity separated out from your child so that they can live their life without you being so worried about what it means about you and to you.
Absolutely.
So you can enjoy watching them grow themselves.
And let them go, you know, the bird. Let the bird go out of that nest, and that's why it's the empty nest. But I think, you know, again, it comes down to patterns. You know, we're in a generation now where parents who are maybe in their 40s and 30s, not as much 30s, but 40s, you know, who have this pattern from their parents and their parents prior, and this pattern continues. And I saw it tonight at dinner where there's a pattern of the mother who's now instilled this pattern into the 17-year-old, and the 14-year-old tells the 17-year-old, you don't have a boyfriend because you never had the balls to ask mommy for one. So I see the 14-year-old breaking the pattern of it's not okay to date.
Right.
Because that's what the 17-year-old has, that's what the mother has, and I can guarantee you, and it would probably be very accurate, that the mother felt that, the grandmother, the great-grandmother, and probably the great-great-grandmother of this lineage of patterns and pathology.
Right. And
yes, and there's an opportunity to wake up inside of the generational curse or generational blessing that gets passed down and say, you know what, the buck stops here.
And the 14-year-old is breaking it, man, because she is
right. Oh, yeah.
I saw her. I was like, do your thing.
Because you know what's happening, you know, with kids nowadays? You know, I'm working with some executives right now that are part of the share economy, and they're running these incredible companies like the Googles and REIs and all. And they basically grew up not trusting their parents. They watch their parents buy into this system where I'm going to work for one company for 30 years, and then I'm going to have retirement, and then I'm going to pay for your college, and then you're going to take care of me. And they watched how miserable their parents were indulging in all this weird false security and materialism. And they're like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do life the way you do it.
Mm-hmm.
And
break
so they're growing up, and they're connecting with each other over Facebook, figuring out what actually works. And they're literally starting companies. I mean, I saw this show on these what is it? It's teenage CEOs. Yeah, it was like child entrepreneurs. And they have conventions where they all come together and they're coming up with new ideas about what they're going to do.
It's precious.
And these kids are like they're not just listening to their parents anymore. They don't trust them, and they shouldn't.
Well, you know, I think when you're tuning in tonight to Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio, I'm your host, Max Tucci. We've got Tamara and Greg here from HeartVirtue.com. We're talking about sex. We're talking about kids. We're talking about growing up with your kids and when to let go. But we're not going to be talking about that for the rest of the show because we're going to be talking about how you and your lover can really have some enjoyable, really intimate sex. So, but until we get into that, we are talking about kids right now because after that intimate sex usually comes the kids. So wrap it up. Otherwise, you're going to have them little rugrats running around. But in reality, you know, it is amazing to see kids breaking the patterns of what we say generational curses, but what others say lineage. And it's fascinating when if you just let them go and trust them to be who they are. I just got a wonderful tweet. I want to read it to you all right now because I love when y'all tweet me at Max Tucci, so continue it. And it says, I love to see my kids grow up so that I know I raised them right and just to see who they turn out to be. Now, and how many parents, Tamara, don't let their kids be who they want to be because they want to live through their kids vicariously?
Right. Oh, Max, and that's a beautiful tweet. That's wonderful because it can be an amazing show. It's an amazing drama to watch them unfold and to shine and to let them shine. It can be a beautiful synergistic experience. And, wow, what a blessing.
That is the truth. Hey, Ronan, what's everybody listening to tonight here on LA Talk Radio?
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. You're joining us right now on the hot, juicy topic of sex with Dr. Tamara and Greg Montana from HeartVirtue.com. And we're going to just segue right now, Tamara, into... That was enough about kids, because now it's that half-hour mark. You know, we're getting later into the night. People are going to start getting their candles lit, their wine on, you know, and the music going, some Barry White. And they're going to get into that mood to have that sex. And we want it to be really, really, really juicy, romantic, intimate, love, happy. Cry if you need to cry. And in all reality, you know, I always search this world for amazing things to give my listeners here. And, of course, Tamara and Greg, you guys are part of that. Tamara, you've been here long enough to know that we talk about whatever we want here on Max and Friends. You are, like, part of the first inner circle, and now we're just, like, this whole big united group of people here on Max and Friends. But in reality, I've searched this world, this globe. I've looked under the rocks of India, and I've found a mantra. Now, we've played it before, and I just love it, because it is a mantra for sacred love. Mm-hmm. And, Tamara, what does sacred love mean to you, Tamara?
Sacred love is an honoring. It's a, there's a respect, there's a reverence, and there's a divinity that is intermingled with our physical humanity. So it's an opportunity to transcend, you know, when people are intertwined in the ocean of love. It's the, one of the things you want to cry at is, oh God, because it's a God-like opportunity to connect with your lover.
Absolutely. Now, you know, they say when you put sound out there that it never ends, that the sound continues to repeat for all eternity. So I just want to put out that mantra right now for sacred love so that tonight we can set the scene. And then I'm going to let Tamara and Greg get into this because I'm about to go make some sacred love myself. How you doing? But let's get this mantra, Ronan, up for a mantra for sacred love. And just let these words, even if you don't understand them, people, just let them sink into your mind. Feel the vibration of the sound and rise with the vibration of what sacred love should be. And just think of that, so it's not just cheap, because, you know, cheap sex is easy to get, but when you get sacred love and when it's continual, not only do you honor the body that you were given, but you honor the body that you are immersing yourself into. So Ronan, hit it with the mantra for sacred love, and when we're back, we've got Tamara and Greg here on Max and Friends. Sacred love mantra.
Om Kama Pujitaye Namah. Kama Pujitaye Namaha. Om 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 Kama Pujitaye Namaha.
When you're welcome doing a mantra, back. Yeah, welcome back. When you're doing a mantra, I was doing the mantra, Tamara. That's okay. Why my mic was on mute. Because when you're doing the mantra, people, you're putting yourself into a beautiful state of really appreciating, okay, appreciating the session of lovemaking. So on that note, Tamara, I know that you guys are going to talk about some juicy lovemaking. Wasn't that a good mantra?
That was beautiful, Max. That was like a transcendent.
It is good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, and what's interesting is that there's literally mantras for everything. And the more you immerse yourself into them, the more they become relevant in your life. So I really suggest Google mantra for sacred love, because I think that it's something that's important. You know, it's a beautiful thing when you can. Listen, if you want to have cheap sex, do your thing. I ain't going to judge you. Have fun. Just wrap it up.
Yeah,
but who are we to judge? But if you're ready to really experience sacred love, and if you're in that mind frame where you are both willing to explore what it's about, Tamara's going to teach that to you right now, what sacred love making is all about with Greg. So I'm going to turn this show over to them. I'm taking all of my Alex and Ani bracelets off because I have about 20 of them up my wrist and I can't go into bed with all them bracelets. But I'm about to jump out of this studio, go home, and do my sacred love making mantra. So Tamara, Greg, I thank you. I bow to you both for talking about sacred love for the next 15 minutes or so here on Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio. And enjoy it. And Tamara, Greg, I love you guys for being here. And you know, when you know better, people, you do better. So let Tamara and Greg inspire you to know better about sacred love. I'm out of here. This is Max Tucci, and I turn it over now to Tamara and Greg on Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio. Good night, guys.
Good night, Max. We love you.
Have fun. Talk about this sacred sex, and let them have sacred sex. Right? Let them have. Love you guys.
Love you, Max.
Invite in the masses. Good night. Stay tuned, everyone, because they're going to give you a good life class right now. Good night, y'all. Have fun. Take it over, Tamara. Bye.
Okay. Bye, Max. Okay. Here we go, sweetheart.
Yes.
One of the things we were talking about earlier is really soliciting our heart, our spirituality, our mental, emotional states inside of lovemaking. And like what Max even said too, sometimes you may even cry. It's so moving and allows an opening on the inside of your heart that may not have been available any other way.
Yeah, and you know, it requires a container. I think the movie we're talking about, Hope Springs, you know, there's a moment in the conversation where, you know, this guy's just critical of his wife and critical of her desires to have more intimate, really spiritual connection and relationship with intimacy and sex, and he's at some point she's just like, I'm done, and then he's in pain and he's got to say to himself, do I really want to live without this person? And they're not having sex anyway, so it wasn't a sex question. But get it, that it's worth avoiding the pain by practicing the skills. You know, otherwise it's kind of like, you know, signing up for an Olympic sport and not practicing before you step on the field. So what Tamara, you know, has studied when it comes to that kind of spiritual intimate sex, and especially you were talking earlier today about the chakras and how they play a role in that relationship. So dive in, give us
a crash course. Well, one of the most beautiful things we can do inside of sacred sex is one of the things they were doing in the movie. Allow yourself to explore each other's body, to be able to touch different areas, to be able to communicate while you're doing it and say, how does this feel? What is this doing on the inside of you? Do you want more of this? Do you want less of that? And allow your bodies to non-verbally communicate the yearning, communicate the longing for each other. And I tell you, when just when Greg puts his hand on my back, all is well with my soul. There's a part of me in every cell of my body that just starts to relax and start out touching each other non-sexually and move into an areas that are more sexual, more heated, and allow the throbbing and the thrust of undulating with each other into a state of, oh my God, allow it to bubble up, allow it to percolate like you would any coffee pot that's brewing something very delicious. And the flavor has to do with you and your partner. What is it that turns each other on? And allow yourselves to explore in a very playful way. And don't worry about getting it right, because you're going to mess up. You're going to trip on each other. You're going to go, oh, I'm sorry. You're there. And allow yourself to be nerdy and not get it just right. And to be playful enough to just say, how is that for you? And to use funny lines. And it's not about being cool all the time. And then allow yourself to be cool sometimes.
Well, and I think one of the important things, you know, Tamara, you frequently said that women are like crock pots and men are like microwaves. And for the guys out there, I got to tell you, you really need to talk yourselves into loving your wife's body. And I don't mean because it's not lovable. I mean because when I hold Tamara's hand, I let myself love the feeling of her skin. When I rub her back, I let myself love how her back feels in the palm of my hand. And I love my, you know, I love, like, she's ticklish. She's incredibly ticklish. So there's a way to tickle her where she's like, ouch, stop. And there's a way to tickle her where she's giggling and loving that there's intimacy and connection. And you really want to talk yourself into, and not out of. You know, it's easy to sit there and say, well, I don't like how your hand feels tonight, or, you know, it's too cold and clammy, or, you know, whoa, you touched my back. Like, Tamara will come in and just touch my back, you know, underneath my shirt. Or sometimes her hands are cold, but I love that it's her hands more than I'm worried about the cold. And it's really about talking yourself into that, because that's the spiritual investment in sex. That's where, when she sees that you love her in spite of some little blemish or some, you know, one of the wrinkles shows up. You talk about that 80-year-old couple hobbling down the street. And I got to tell you, I mean, I'm 5 decades on the planet. Tamara's nearly that long on the planet. She puts me to shame. I walk down the sidewalk.
That's not true.
You look like a teenager. Who are you kidding? And people look at me and they're kind of like, wow, what's he doing with her? You know, and it's, you know, it's easy. It's easy to talk yourself into loving the little things that your wife have that are adorable. If you spend 90% of your time criticizing your wife and 10% appreciating her, don't say, oh, but I, you know, it's like saying, I love you. Guys say this thing, oh, well, I already told you I love you. What, 8 years ago? You know, it's literally talking yourself into it all the time. And that's enjoying every chakra up your spine.
Well, and imagine, before we're ever born, there is that yearning to experience ourselves in our humanity. And what if we didn't waste any precious moments of connecting in a way that says, I see you, I feel you, I have great pleasure with you. And it's present, and you're here now, feeling it to its fullest extent. You know, it's like eating a delicious dessert and scarfing it down and maybe tasting the first couple bites, or savoring each spoonful full of rich fudge or caramel that squeezes through the crevices of your teeth and you're experiencing the pleasure. Allow yourself that sacred kind of sex with your lover, where you take in every moment of, oh my gosh, you are here right now with me. And if this moment is what I will remember always with me forever, we can have holy instances every time we look into each other's eyes. In this movie, she was looking into her husband's eyes. Regardless of the physical connection or not, she was like, do you see me?
And
do
looking,
you find me attractive?
And
do
looking,
you love me?
And looking for him to look back and see her back. You know, the average act of sexual intercourse lasts 3 minutes. 3 minutes. That's how long actual sex lasts, if you call it intercourse. But if you, you know, when Tamara and I make love, I'm stroking her back and rubbing her arm for hours after we have sex. And for quite
even
a bit before, prior. There's a lot of hugging, touching.
And
now, if you asked her, if I asked you, Tamara, how long does sex last for us, what would you say?
Well, it depends, because I think that having sex, making love, starts in the morning, like, good morning, gorgeous.
Yeah, guys, hear that? Now, for, you know, I could sit here and say, well,
and
it's 3 minutes.
And so I would say it's all day long.
Yeah.
And really, the physical act, that's fine if that's 3 minutes.
Exactly.
That's fine. If it, the lovemaking happens all day long, all night long, when you reach over and you just caress your lover's neck or their ear, or you whisper, I love you. I'm more in love with you today than I was the day I met you.
And
that
you,
is lovemaking.
Exactly. And I think, you know, women are crockpots. And the funny thing is, I think often when men hear that, they think, I'm not a crockpot. Yes, that's right. You're not. You're a man. You're a microwave. However, you definitely want to respect that your woman is a crockpot. And play along with that. That means that in the morning you tell her how much you love her and tell little specific, I love your lips and your ears make me crazy and I love to you know, kiss your belly and, you know, and then she's feeling it, you know, because you're adding the vegetables into the crock pot here.
And let's explain, and just in case anybody doesn't know what a crock pot is, it's a pot that you put the ingredients in the morning, and you turn it on low, and you let it simmer all day long into where the juices start to meld into each other very, very slowly, and the aroma when you walk in after a day of simmering, it's so delicious. The meat is so tenderized that it falls off any bone, and it is delicious. Now, the difference, which most people know of a microwave, that can be just as tasty when you pop something in and it's ready and good to go in a matter of minutes. And that's where we're trying to make the distinction and the differentiation between women. For lovemaking, it does begin in the morning. It begins with your words. It begins with what you paint the picture of your relationship to be, what you're looking forward to. It's how you conduct yourself in front of other women, in front of other men, in regards to this is your partner. All of that is simmering lovemaking, to where when the act finally comes together just between the two of you, it's an accumulation and a integration of all the love words you've been doing for maybe a couple of days. And I think a really good amount of time to be able to come together in a physical relationship with your lover, because that's one of the big questions that always came up in my class, was what is the healthy relationship? How often do you have sex? And I would say 2 to 3 times a week. And, you know, many times we hear of marriages or couples in relationship that it's maybe 2 to 3 times a year.
And, you know, when we talk about women or crock pots or microwaves, it's if you have a crock pot husband, then acknowledge, and that's fine. I mean, we're just giving the generalization here, but, you know, especially in same-sex marriages, is if one person's more effeminate than the other, it's a question of recognizing your partner. And I'm going to tell you right now the most important foreplay, appreciation.
Mm.
The most important foreplay is gratitude. I have, it's hard to imagine a couple, because so many couples resent their partner for one reason or another, whatever it is. Whether they make fun of them or criticize them, or they don't support them enough, or they don't support them financially, or they don't like the same things. As soon as that resentment starts forming, gratitude goes out the window. And true, what I'll tell you right now, what turns Tamara on more than anything, long term,
and guarantees that we're going to be close and intimate two or three times a week is perpetual gratitude and appreciation. And I don't care how bad your partner is or how many complaints you've got about him, there is something there to appreciate, and you know it. And it's up to you to figure out whether your 15,000 thoughts about your spouse during the week are going to be criticism, or if those 15,000 thoughts that throughout the week are going to be about what you appreciate and are grateful for in your partner. And it's no mystery when we see a couple arguing in some park that they've been entertaining, and you're responsible for your thoughts. You can hold your partner accountable as long as you want, and you'll be in pain, and you'll wonder what happened to your relationship, until you actually just start being grateful and appreciative and thinking, you know, look, I can look at Tamara and I can find something to criticize, or I can look at Tamara and I can say, you know, your hair is beautiful, and I love your lips, and your hands, and I got to tell you, your feet are the most beautiful princess feet I've ever seen in my life. Mm-hmm. And I have a choice when I think of her, if I'm thinking about, because I think she does have beautiful feet. And if I'm thinking about Tamara, I can think about those parts that I appreciate. And if I am, she's feeling it. I send her a text message. You know, the other day I was just thinking about Tamara and the kindness that she expresses to the people that we get to serve every day. And I just sent her a text message. I am in love with you. Mm-hmm. So that's probably the most important thing to actually leave you with, because it's the starting point. If you want to have great sex, it starts with gratitude and appreciation and cherishing your partner. Mm-hmm. And one of the things Tamara said is, you know, the one thing that she's seen, that when a relationship falls apart primarily because of the female in the relationship or the more effeminate, nurturing partner in the relationship, it's because they lose the ability to praise. When a wife loses the ability to praise her husband, that you're headed for criticism. So,
And we just read a quote that says that when you're in gratitude, what you have is always enough.
That's the beauty of gratitude. Mm-hmm. When you practice gratitude, no matter how little or how much you have, it's always enough.
So as we're wrapping up right here, just come close to the person that you genuinely love in that intimate kind of relationship and hold them in your arms and cradle them as if they're the most valuable piece of soul you've held, and love that, experience it, because what you do to another, you do to yourself.
And one last closing exercise, take out your phone and text them right now one thing that you appreciate about them. And add your emoticon hearts and all that stuff.
Yes.
So it's been a privilege, Max.
It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for inviting us.
Oh, Max, thanks for having us on again. It was such a treat being on with you. I just can't believe all the places you've been. It's exciting. So thanks for having us on, Max and friends. We're happy to always show up when Max needs us. So you guys, make this a great week. Make it a great holiday. The Thanksgiving's coming up here. Christmas is coming up. Use this festive time to carry you throughout the entire year. And know that love is always present.
Happy holidays.
Good night, everybody.